If you have your Bibles this morning, please open them up with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and today we are going to be looking at our continual study of music. Last week we set a little bit of foundation for it. Today we're continuing to look at music in the church. Why do we listen to the certain things that we do? Why do we present music in a certain way? We'll be looking at these things today in Ephesians chapter 5. So let's look together at verse 15, and if you're able to, please stand with me out of respect for the reading of God's word. Look with me here at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time that we have to gather around your word. I pray that you would help our hearts to be open to your word, to change even, Lord God. I pray that your Holy Spirit would convict us, show us the things in our lives that we need to change, Lord. Help us to become more like you. And I just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to open up your word. In your name, I pray these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, music is a very powerful vehicle for expressing knowledge. Music can be used by the Lord to express his truth, and music can be used by Satan to express his lies. Now, to assume that all music is good is to assume that there is no enemy and there is no conflict in our spirits. Now, worldly music, that is to say, music that is influenced by Satan, has worldly philosophies connected with it. Godly music, that is to say, music that is influenced by God, has godly philosophies connected with it. Now, worldliness and godliness is the internal lifelong fight of the Christian. Now, here in our text today, we are taught to be very careful in our daily walk, not to be as fools and assume that everything in the world is good for us, but to be wise with wisdom and knowledge that God gives to us to discern good from evil. Now, let's dig a little deeper in our text today. Look back with me, starting in verse 15. Here in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Now, circumspectly means to be wary of the ground you walk on. Be very careful. Do not take the risk that you're facing. You know, don't be like the fool. Don't just follow everyone else down that wide road. You know, when the popular mass approves something, when everyone's like, "Hey, let's do this. This would be good." That's kind of a red flag when everybody wants to do it kind of thing. Consider it for a few minutes. Don't just say, "Okay, well, I'm going to jump in because everyone else is jumping in." Take some time to consider what it is that you're jumping into. Go back to scriptures if you can. Go to prayer if you can. Don't just jump in because everyone else is doing it. Now, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Now, technically, you may be allowed to take in anything you want in your life, but that does not mean that everything you take in is good for you. Now, we are to be careful with what we bring into our bodies, in our minds, and in our spirits, because all things are teaching us, and we do not want to be brought under the power of any. Whether it's false teaching from the enemy is what the often thing is, or whatever it may be, we want to be careful what it is that we bring in. Now, Jesus calls on believers in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16 to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now, the idea here is that we are to be wise enough to know when we should avoid the danger and harmless enough to know when, instead of taking on the enemy head on, we instead avoid him altogether. All right, look with me at verse 16. "Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." So we need to be on our guard when considering where we are getting our truths from. regardless if it comes through spoken word, written word, music, or video. We need to be careful because we are living in a fallen world where Satan is always working to distract us from God's word. Now, don't be drunk with wine here, in which is wasteful or careless. The idea here is don't be filled and controlled by the world. Don't let your senses be dulled so that you don't know what you're taking in. Instead, be filled or be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Let him guide you through what is right and what is wrong. Now, this idea of being filled here in the Greek positions us to being kept filled by the Holy Spirit. This is a continual working. This is regular, continual event. Always go back to the truth. Always get ready for the fight. Don't let your guard down and don't fill your mind with wastefulness. All right, look with me at verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. All right, verses 19 through 21 are a great connection back to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Now notice that in these verses, we are to be careful and cautious. We are to use godly wisdom in our choices, and we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That is before we are to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So in other words, we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That should be on the foundation before we even approach singing to each other, before we even approach admonishing each other and encouraging each other. We have to make sure that we have the right grounding before we present music and truth to each other. And then we are to submit to each other. This is a humble approach as we speak God's truths. Now, there is a parallel verse to this passage in Proverbs. You should be a little familiar with it as it's our song of the month it's based on. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." So keep your heart means to guard your heart, to be very careful with what you let into your heart and your mind. Now look with me at the next few verses that help to clarify this verse a little bit more. Starting in verse 24, "Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you." Verse 26 says, "Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil." In other words, don't let anything in the world control you. Be careful of the influences that you are taking in. This definitely includes music. Now, music is a very powerful vehicle. It has the power to be played in the background and introduce truth, and you don't even notice that it's playing. Now, think about it this way. How many times have you had a song stuck in your head only to find that it was because someone else was singing it? Or it was playing in the background, maybe somebody was humming it, and you didn't even notice. And then suddenly this song is stuck in your head. Well, if it's a song with words, and you weren't even listening to the words as it got stuck in your head, you might have remembered it from hearing it in the past, and now you've got the words playing around in your head. Now, there are times when the first song that we hear in the day is stuck in our mind, replaying over and over. And it's always a bummer when that song is teaching the wrong kinds of things. Now, how do I get that song unstuck from my head? By playing a new song and sticking something in that is the right kinds of things that I want to teach my mind. Now, here at CBC, we work on presenting music that is not overpowering, that does not lead your emotions, and that is simple and aids in complementing a message. And why is that? It's because different kinds of music send different kinds of messages. In fact, different kinds of music may take you to a place in your mind or produce a feeling or a familiar emotion because music has the ability to lead your mind. We need to be careful in how we consider music in our church ministries. Now, again, different kinds of music sends different kinds of messages. Now, there are all kinds of music, but not necessarily every song is appropriate for worship. And it seems like today, There is so much emphasis on merging the world's music and philosophies with the music and teachings of the church. Now, part of this is our culture. We have let go of discernment and traded it in for someone else to discern for us. If music was not such a powerful medium, filmmakers would not spend so much money on film scores that help support the film. Now, think about it. Movie music can scare you at just the right moment. It can make you cry. It can make you smile, and it can make you even lead to feel more triumphant. Music is powerful, which is why we need to be discerning in what music comes our way. Now, last week, we talked about how it is the Holy Spirit's responsibility to lead your heart to a response. It is not the pastor's responsibility to lead you. It is his responsibility to guide you through the Word of God. It is also not the music's responsibility to lead your heart to a response. Now, there are many churches today that position music in a way that leads the church to a response. Many of these churches do not have the right focus on music. In fact, many use music interchangeably as entertainment and then worship. Now, be very careful with these kinds of ministries. Be very careful with ministries that dominate with music over the preaching of God's word. Now, music can be a great resource, but it is not the primary medium that God has used to communicate his word. I've heard from musicians even in the past that said if they had their choice, they would have 45 minutes for the music and 15 minutes for the preaching, because music should be the primary thing. But we just don't see that in God's word. Music is not the primary thing. Teaching God's word is the primary thing. Music is there to simply help communicate God's truth. I believe that the biggest obstacle that the culture of the church falls back on today regarding music is through contemporary Christian music. CCM was developed back in the 1960s as a way to merge the world's sound with Christian lyrics. Now, some of the teaching that came out of this group is that music has no morality. It's based on how you feel about it. There's no danger in different kinds of music. Music is an art form, therefore it is all good. But as we know today, art is an expression from someone's thoughts or feelings. And there are many art forms today that are crass and vulgar that attack the very nature of God, or lead man into addictions with violence or pornography. The very idea that God approves all art forms as good is wrong. God made it clear that the heart of man is desperately wicked. Therefore, art itself should not be trusted unless it is presented through the lens of Scripture. Now, as we know, different kinds of music sends different kinds of messages. Music always carries a message from the heart of the messenger. The one presenting the music is teaching you something. They have woven it into their song. Now, one of the drawbacks of contemporary Christian music is that anything that is remotely Christian in name falls under their umbrella. Not just Protestant music, but Catholic, Mormon, and Jehovah's Witness are part of the CCM label. Now, another drawback of CCM is that pretty much anyone can be a CCM artist of some kind. They don't even have to be a Christian. If they sing a song about God in some way or something about Christian-like things, their music enters into the CCM realm. Now, why I am even talking about CCM is because this is the mainstream area where most Christian music is gleaned today for the use in the church and at home. CCM is a multi-million dollar entertainment industry with nearly every genre rolled into one. Now, it's hard to tell with some of the music offered what exactly the presenter is getting at. Part of this is because the lyrics at times can be vague, and part of this can be because we don't know their starting point or their belief. Are they beginning with a works-based salvation? Are they beginning with everyone who is good will automatically go to heaven? They are singing about God and talking about attributes of God and how they feel about God. But that does not always help us to fully understand what they're saying in context. Now, today, we have the medium of video that gives us a better picture of what they're thinking, which draws a better image of whether or not the music is suitable for worship, or if it is even a good representation of Scripture. Not everything that is under the label of CCM is wrong. There are some songs that have a depth of scriptural truth to them with some beautiful music. But then there are other songs that use the scripture in the wrong manner, or not even at all, and use music to pattern their message from the world's philosophies. Now, something to consider is this. Godly music produces godly thoughts. It produces godly images. It produces uprightness in the heart. We are encouraged to think and dwell and meditate on upright things in Scripture. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 says, "Finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Instead of listening to something because you like it, consider if it is teaching the right kind of things. For instance, music with words and lyrics, what is my musician teaching me? Does it uplift my thoughts to God, or does it draw them away? Now, I enjoy at times listening to the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. It is a massive choir, and they sing quite a few doctrinally strong hymns. But some music I don't listen to because it supports their Mormon beliefs. Now, what about praise music? I've heard from other Christian resources in the past that praise music, especially praise music for kids, does not necessarily have to follow the pattern of biblical requirements of Philippians 4:8. Because praise is when we posture our feelings towards God, and our feelings are not always lovely and pure. But is that really praise? The definition of praise is an act of worship or acknowledgement by which the virtues or deeds of another are recognized or extolled. Praising is not transferring your feelings about God to God. Praising is identifying virtues or deeds about God and thanking Him for them. Praising is also not repeating, "I praise you, Lord," 20 times or more. If I were praising my wife, I would do so by naming attributes, virtues, or deeds about her for what she has done. I would praise her for remembering me and how she is thoughtful. I would praise her for taking care of me and how she has a servant spirit. I would praise her for the love and care that she puts into our home. When we praise God, we do so by listing His attributes, virtues, and deeds, and the things that we are thankful for. That is what praise is. And by the way, let me reiterate something since I brought it up. Never assume that you can teach your kids whatever you want now and restructure their thinking later. Whatever you teach at a young age will set the foundation for how they think in the future. If you introduce the wrong kind of thinking at a younger age, it will be much more difficult to uproot that kind of thinking at an older one. Now, you might say, "Pastor, what kind of music is worldly music? After all, that's not a listed genre on iTunes." Well, worldly music is music that does not honor God, and this can be in both the tune and in the lyrics. And realistically, this can come from every genre. Even sacred music can be used to dishonor God if the lyrics are not biblical. Now, for the Christian, we need to pursue holiness above any other thing, even above our feelings about music. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." All right, let's start with lyrics. Now, the tune in a song will support the lyrics. Where the lyrics go, the tune will not only follow, but will reemphasize the point. Lyrics that focus on sinful actions, such as any kind of sex outside of the boundaries of marriage, sinful passions, sinful desires, coveting those things that God has not provided for you. Lyrics that focus on anger, vengeance, the desire to do evil things, blasphemy towards God, even lyrics that display filthy language or encourage filthy language, do not honor God and are considered worldly. Now we see this in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 and 8, which says, "Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. But now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth." Now, regarding music itself, aside from the lyrics or music without lyrics altogether, be careful with music that those living outside of Christ define as immoral. Now, think about that. If people who are not Christians look at this kind of music and say, this is immoral, or they might say, this is ungodly, that's even popular for some to say, that's a red flag. It's one thing when Christians are arguing whether or not it's moral, but if those who do not live with Christ in their lives, those who already live a worldly life, if they look at the music and define it as worldly, then that kind of gives us a clear picture of the music. Rock music, for instance, at its very beginnings, it was considered music that was rebellious, that led young people away from morality into sin. And this is the perspective of those who engaged in it, not the Christians on the sidelines. Now again, that's the music without lyrics, just the tune. And that has not changed. You don't have to take my word for it. Google the phrase, "What does rock music teach?" You will find scores and scores of people that have been influenced by rock music and those that play it that tell us that rock music is about sex outside of marriage. It's about fornication, adultery. It's about drugs, pain, rebellion towards authority, anger, violence, vengeance, anything away from the Bible, and more. Now, those are all items that we are called to put off in Colossians chapter 3. And again, that's just the tune. Rock is designed to move you, but where is it moving you to? John Lennon, one of the founders of the Beatles, when the Beatles became very popular in their early days, he stated, "We are more popular than Jesus now. I don't know which will go first, rock and roll or Christianity." Now, today in many modern churches, they have taken rock and roll and Christianity and merged them. GotQuestions.org says this about modern worship music. It says modern worship music has gravitated toward a sound mostly associated with rock bands. Now, the right kind of music produces the right kinds of thoughts. The wrong kinds of music produces the wrong kinds of thoughts. Godly music produces godly thinking. And I will give you some examples of that in just a moment, of some of the godly thinking that is produced by godly music. Now remember, godly music is going to be different. It will sound different than what much of the world is producing. That's okay. It is supposed to be different. Godly music leads us to uprightness. Godly music honors God and His holiness. Godly music reinforces the gospel. Godly music brings us joy. Godly music places our focus on God over ourselves. Godly music encourages our hearts. Godly music shares the attributes of God. Godly music sets our affections on God. Godly music edifies and encourages others. And the list goes on. Really, godly music drives us to think about God in a manner that is consistent with His Word. The right kind of music will produce the right kind of thinking and will help to produce the right kind of living. This is why we are very careful in what music we bring into our ministry here at Campbell Bible Church. It is important to have the right music accompanying God's Word in our worship, our praise, and our study of Him. even in our times of fellowship or work here at the church, we make sure that the music that we play is glorifying to the Lord in every aspect. Because again, remember, your ears pick up on music and truths even when you are not paying attention. We want to make sure that all of the truths that are being presented from Campbell Bible Church are being presented correctly from the Word of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you've given us this opportunity to study music. We thank you, Lord, that you have presented in your Word opportunities for us to understand what it means to live a life fully unto God, what it means to be careful with the things that we do, what it means to be cautious as we approach things in this world. Lord, help us to understand what it means to be in the world enough that we are giving out the gospel and helping to encourage others, but not of the world, not partaking in the world's philosophies, not partaking in the world's sin. Help us to learn what it means to be separate. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to live for you. I pray this week that we would go out and be encouraged by your word, strengthened by it. I pray, Lord, that we would return next week ready to get back into your word together. In your name, I pray these things. Amen.